listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Do You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I'm your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, needed to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if it wasn't, I know the kind of brother and sister that you is, you got it done anyway, because you don't procrastinate. You don't put it off. No, you do it. And you make sure that it gets done, and gets done in a timely manner, and gets done right. Right on. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, then you can always go to timeforanawakening.com and check out the archives of previously recorded programs that are dated and titled. Look for the red, black, and green lion with Africa in pose. Click on to that. And talking with my good brother, Brother Kwaku, and thank him always. And making sure we can put some of these programs on the website. And now we're going to have pictures with them in a whole bit. So we're going to definitely do all of those things. Other programming that is here on Time for an Awakening Media, Mondays is Monday evening. Last Monday evening, they had an outstanding program on Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8 Eastern. All times are going to give at Eastern times. They had Dr. Umar Johnson. I would like Brother Elliot from Time for Awakening, who this program is based, to, man, replay that. That was a good program. Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8. After Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. His program last night, it's a good program. I had a chance to listen. Always appreciate Dr. William Rogers. Wednesday, today, from 8 to 10, is Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness from 8 to 10. Time for an Awakening with Brother Ellie and Brother Richards on Friday. If it's 8 p.m. and it's Eastern time, that's right. It's Time for an Awakening. And then on Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's not me. It's Sister POC and her program Revive from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., it's once again Time for an Awakening with Brother Ellie and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We buy black.com. Get everything you need from American African owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com, the largest online marketplace for American African owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. And if you are in the Atlanta area, you can stop by the Greenbrier Mall. They have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall. You can get detergents and toothpaste and toothbrushes and all kinds of good stuff, but check them out. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Bomani Tahembe, he's preparing to take another group of our brothers and sisters to the motherland in May of this year, May 2019. So check him out. You can give him a call at 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429. Or you can go on Facebook and you can see photographs from previous tours. Particularly, he had just had one in November and May of last year. So facebook.com/Bomani, B-O-M-A-N-I. And then if you want to check out videos, youtube.com/Bomani 2007. YouTube.com/Bomani 2007. Books.
books. We need books. We need to read. In fact, it's always been said that when you read something, you retain it more than if you just saw it or listened to it. But hey, I know a lot of our people don't want to read. They don't feel they have time. So they listen to books on tablets and on their other devices. And they, of course, go to YouTube. And that's cool. But hey, books. The Shrine of the Black Madonna, located in the West End here in Atlanta, 946 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard, and number to call is 404-549-8676. And the Shrine of the Black Madonna has books, but they also have furniture, clothing, artwork, artifacts, Kwanzaa kits, the red, black, and green shoes. I have all of that. But they also have a history class every Saturday. Brother Olatunji is the instructor of the history class every Saturday. It's free and open to the public from 1:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. Okay? And he also has a multimedia presentation. The Black History presents the Black History Multimedia Library, the most extensive cultural library of its kind, over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 2,000 books. That's right, brothers. It is 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment that you can have at your disposal from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. So check that out. Other bookstores, there's the Medu bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, and the kiosk that I was mentioning of We Buy Black is right by the Medu Netcher bookstore, the Medu bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. So go there, check out. If they don't have the book that you want, I'm quite sure they'll get it for you. Also, too, a bookstore in Lithonia, my good brother, Kahimde. Brother Kahimde Ajamu, the owner of Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. The number to call is 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107. And if he doesn't have what you're looking for, he'll get it. He also has the red, black, and green shoes because there is light in the Black Dot. For sure. Us lifting us. The Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. And so check out Us Lifting Us. Go to the website, usliftingus.com. Become a member. Be a part of the co-op. Go to, if you're in the Atlanta area, we have a cafe, Cafe Ulu, located 2036 Sylvan Road in the Sylvan Plaza. Open Monday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., Thursday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and we sell coffee. That's right. We have African coffee. We have Cameroon, Tanzania, Kenya, and Ethiopia, which is Ethiopia is where coffee started. We also have Brazilian and Panamanian, all kinds of good coffees. We have loose teas. Everything that is sold at Cafe Ulu is produced by us. It is truly us lifting us. One of the products we sell at there is Ambrosia, which is a nutrition drink, a vitality drink. And that's made by my good brother, Novak Young, Ambrosia. And I'll talk more about that. Trying to get through this because I got a lot of stuff I want to go through. And, of course, today is Wednesday, and we haven't talked to my good brother, Franklin Jones, in a minute, but we're going to talk to him today. Ackerman Institute and Ackerman House's 20th anniversary celebration is March 2nd. March 2nd at the Sweet Spot, 675 Metropolitan Parkway here in the Atlanta area. Just, in fact, it's east of the West End. East of the West End, and that is the Sweet Spot, 675, and that's March 2nd. It's a serious fundraiser, the 20th anniversary of the work that Baba Baruti and Ya Baruti are doing to educate our children. They definitely deserve to be supported. I've been gone a while, and I want to thank Brother Kwaku again and Dr. Rogers for putting programs on while I was absent. And I'm back, hoping to be here for a minute again, as always, trying my best to impart some knowledge. You know, we have the Inyesesim, and the Inyesesim is the revolutionary thoughts. And I got to admit, and I hope you're being patient with me, because we missed so many days. I want to go back to the 29th and start to work my way forward to the 6th. I'm not going to read all of them, but I'm going to read a good majority of those days that we missed. And so I appreciate your patience. But to me, this is outstanding motivational knowledge of who we are as African people. And that's why to me, it's important that we go through this, through these revolutionary thoughts, these affirmations of who we and what we should be about. The 29th, January 29th. Does not history deny the possibilities of really civilizing and humanizing those who by nature are barbarians? This is that statement was made by Baba J. Carruthers Chetty. Baba Jetty. There is a Akan proverb which says, illness of genetic origin cannot be cured. When a particular or peculiar type of thought and behavior is found to exist among people throughout their existence on this planet, when we can see that the roots, trunks, tree, branches, and leaves are all marked with the same particular qualities and characteristics of whatever variable is being studied, we can say that such a thought and behavior naturally reflects those people's cultural, cultural personality. And to be sure, personality traits run in families that the same as physical conditions, diseases, and appearances. In fact, science is not limited to the European lab tells us that these qualities are often so deeply intertwined that distinctions are not always as real as they may seem. The same is true with culture. A culture is a family. It cannot exist apart from the group which sustains it. Therefore, significant parts of the cultural framework, the embedded cultural aesthete, are congenial to the individuals who make up the people who created and given culture, who evolved as one with it, and who continue to give life to it, all of whom are the same. Those who exist now are not different from their ancestors. Those who exist now are no less than the culmination of all the family members who came before them. They are the living practitioners and defenders of their cultural inheritance. Insanity is congenially European. I repeat, insanity is congenially European. Affirm, I have my ancestors' sanity because we are one. Affirm, I have my ancestors' sanity because we are one. Mask no difficulties, tell no lies, claim no easy victories, and hide nothing from the masses of the people. Emeco Cabral, the great revolutionary Emeco Cabral. Know that you will not automatically be loved by the masses. Our people's trust has been abused time and time again by the rank and file of Europeans, from liberal radicals to philanthropizing conservatives, and sadly, even by a number of us who claim to be African-centered. It will take time for us to trust us. Oppression and exploitation teaches their victims the inverted golden rule of getting everyone before they get you, because you believe that there is their underlining intent. Get them before they get you. It makes healthy, secure relationships difficult, if not impossible, because everywhere we go, we expect to be cheated, thus creating simmering, hostile psychological undercurrent. Extreme individualism makes trust for the sake of trust impossible. If we as Africans are not a nation build, we cannot afford to be this way. If we as Africans are to nation build, we cannot afford to be this way. We can no longer be European in our relationship with each other. A zero-sum mentality can have no place in our personal space. Having it there will make us hateful toward ourselves and each other. There would be no trust or sense of family or race, no questioning or unquestioning racial cultural loyalty. We must speak to each other in the language we ancestrally, spiritually should understand. We must be at peace as we commune with each other. Ma'at must again become our way with each other. Ma'at. Affirm, I establish trust so that love has a place to take root. Affirm, I establish trust so that love has a place to take root. Strong people. That was January 30th. I apologize. January 30th. January 31st. Strong people don't need leaders. Ella Baker. Only weakened people need courageous individuals to set an example and or to make them do what they know needs to be done, since they harbor a deep-seated fear of doing so because they would rather live in the delusional safety and security of civility than die in the process of creating liberty for themselves and their posterity. Among a strong people, every person is a leader, as evident in their actions in or out of their presence of the other members of the group. Each one individually is prepared to make a stand, regardless of the odds, regardless of the number of enemies they face. Even when physically isolated from the community, strong people understand they are not alone. They are never alone. At one time, we were a strong people, even in a land where Africa's strength is still severely persecuted, even by so many lost Africans. The fearlessness and power of strong individuals at that time were reflected in the likes of Robert Clark, an African man facing a mob of 20,000 intent on lynching him. He stood his ground and sent 20 of those of his best new Europeans to the hospital and cemetery before the mob was able to fulfill its murderous appetite. Man, right on, Robert Charles. Even though those barbarians could not see his ancestors and no other Africans, strong Africans were there to fight by his side, he was not alone. He saw, he knew, he carried the rage of millions gone and to come. I affirm I am strong people. I affirm I am strong people. February 2nd. Whoever the white race does not consort with, it will crush out. Bishop Henry McNeil Turner. The vicious, unfathomable inhumanity that others have inflicted upon us has continued for more than two millennia. We'll call this genocidal attempt to savagely rip Africans from our native culture and selves and entirely remove us from as a people from this planet by frightened, power-hungry others, the Ma'afa. This term refers to the entirety of the effort Europeans and others have put into trying to destroy the African continent, African culture, and African people. The Ma'afa includes the unprovoked wars of invasion to conquer the continent, the missionary efforts from the north and east to remove us from our spirit, the consciously ignorant undermining of African cultural activities and sensibilities, the brutal and inhumane capture of Africans for the enslavement and the removal of Africans to other lands, the colonization of African political systems, the balkanization of formerly peaceful ethnic groups and mass theft of Africans' resources, the confiscation of Africans' land, and the relegation of Africans to infertile soil, the global dehumanization of Africans. Oh, sorry. Sorry, brothers and sisters. The confiscation of African lands and relegation of Africans to infertile soil and the global dehumanization of Africans and the brutalization, rape, torture, and murder of hundreds of millions of Africans, including the prevention of the birth of all the descendants whose murder individuals could have produced. It is a genocide in progress. Affirm, I remember. Affirm, I remember. February 6th. The underdog does not stop to philosophize about his position. Paul Lawrence Dunbar. We are filled with histories describing the motives and acts of our people has defeated reflections of European agendas and visions of a grandeur and domination. We have fallen for the power corrupts and absolutely corrupts absolutely. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Eurasianizing has acceptable universal excuse for what they have done without conscience. And because of this, we have come to accept that all humanity thinks the same, believing that this is the only skill, opportunity, and determination of winners and losers with distinguished people along lines of wanton violence and endemic and epidemic corruption. This universalization of the European mind makes their story normal and turns us into them, except without their victory. Such thinking removes our ability to objectively view reality, our reality, and move toward an empowerment reflective of the African mind. And it allows the European nation to continue and even escalate their march toward the globalization of their empire with our assistance and constant because we think that they are the ascended model of humanity. Damn. I recognize humanity based on thought and action. Affirm. I recognize humanity based on thought and action. Man. The instantiation of revolutionary thought on daily revolutionary thought. Something that we need to embrace. And I know that we will. Brothers and sisters, Brother Frank, Franklin Jones, how you doing? Brother Franklin Jones, are you with me? Maybe I was too long.
Hello, my brother.
Hey, my man. Here. How are you? How you doing?
I'm fantastic.
Good.
Fantastic. Always a pleasure when I'm here on the program.
So, oh, man.
Always great.
I appreciate you being on the program. You know I do. To share the information. I know I sent you some information about the bleaching of black culture. Did you get a chance to look at that at all?
Yes, I looked at it a little bit. Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at it.
Okay. Yeah.
Very interesting. I haven't completely finished it yet.
Right. Okay. Because that the bleaching of it doesn't deal with the deep psychological problem that we have as a people, where many of our people bleach their skin and many of our people deny the darkness of their skin and hate themselves because of the darkness of their skin. You know,
yeah.
This more so. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Allow me to interject before you go on, because I think it's a very profound subject dealing with the self-contempt or the mind state of our people. And before we do this, I'd like to say something to those who are going to be calling in. I have a request. I've never made this request before, but I'm asking today, those who are considering calling in, you're welcome to do so. And I'm asking that today, this day, let's try to stay on subject. This is a very important subject, the mind state of our people, how we perceive ourselves. So I'm asking those who call in today, let's not call in and divert from this subject. This is a very important subject. This year is the 400-year anniversary from the first day the African slave was brought into America. 400-year anniversary this year. So I think it's important now that we stay on subject and address the mindset. The Caucasian's most proficient skill is their ability to manipulate and deceit. And they've used this to create a prison for the minds of the African people. And the hardest prison to free a person from is the prison for the mind.
Yes.
Regardless of how intelligent a person may be, his mind is greatly dependent upon the information fed into it. And our situation is to wipe the side and feed information into our minds. And we have to address this. So I'm asking those who want to call today, let us not divert the subject from the mind today. Let us not divert away from the self-contempt. Let us not divert away talking about television, politicians, programs. Let us talk about the state of the mind of our people. And we're standing on 400 years. This is a 400 year from the first day the African slave, the first year the African slave was born to America. So let us address the mind. Because black liberation will not come until we overcome the monopoly the white oppressors have over our minds. So I'm asking those who call in, let's stay on subject today, please.
I echo that sentiment. And as the host of this program, and along with you, we're going to make sure that that happens. So, dear brothers, we're talking once again on Wednesdays with my co-host, Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix. We're talking about the African mind. And we're talking about how that mindset has been undermined and manipulated, and to the point of self-hatred, the point of self-denial, the point of, man, I could go on. But you're welcome to call at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. In that documentary I told you about, that was more so about Caucasians appropriating what we have established, you know, in terms of music, look, song, and so forth, you know, and it goes on about how They have been doing this from day one. But you have to understand, and I mean, when I mean day one, I mean day one, because the European coming out of in its development in that icebox that was Europe. And then finally, because Africans had culture, Africans had systems thousands of years before the European began to develop, you know. And so the European cultures of particularly Greece, later Rome, later the so-called, get my thoughts together here, the so-called medieval ages or dark ages when there was no light or no information, no knowledge being circulated in Europe. The only area that it was being done was in the western part of Europe, which, of course, is where the Moors, dark-skinned men and women, who were providing information to help Europeans, you know, in terms
of... many people who hear you speak, our own people, may have a difficult time accepting when you say that because they've been functioning based upon narratives from the white society. Many believe that we were ignorant in Africa, and the best thing that happened to us when a white man took us out of Africa. But those narratives are untrue. Africa had the Timbuktu University, had a library, they had universities, and the world's first encyclopedia was from Africa. And the Africans had it 1,000 years before the Europeans had it. We function off of false narratives about ourselves. And that's how white men controlled us. So go on, please.
Well, no, because no. And see, what I was trying to bring up to is this chronology of Europeans' control. Because once they came out of that dark age, medieval age, and even though they had some knowledge about what Greece was, understanding too, even though the Greeks were great, thieves, they plagiarized tremendously.
Yeah.
You know, they took the knowledge that we once possessed and they subverted it. In fact,
the Moors introduced the daily bath to the Europeans. The Moors taught them about the daily bath. Queen of England, many years ago, bragged about taking a bath once a year.
Well,
Dr. Ben talks about this in his writings and lectures. The Moors taught them the daily bath.
But not only did we do that, we taught them how to get them animals out of the castle or out of their homes, put them in a corral. We taught them so many things, the light, how to maintain and keep light into your, and not electric light, of course. We're talking about flames and so forth because, what the Moors did in the western part of Europe. Now, understand something. Europe is not a continent. There's not seven continents, y'all. There's six.
Yeah, that's illusion.
Europe is not a continent. But because Europeans, Caucasians, are so damn arrogant that they said, I'm going to name this a continent because I want to be separate from what's happening east of the Caucasus Mountains. So I want to be separated from that. So they use the Caucasus Mountains as a dividing line. So anything west of there is a European continent. Okay? No, there's not one. There is no such thing as a European continent. But to the cracker, there's European continent. But anyway, let me finish. So now he comes out of that dark age, that medieval age, and he's into his Renaissance. When I was young, I remember reading about the Renaissance of man. And I thought, because of how the title went, it was the Renaissance of man, of human beings. Not understanding and realizing it was an awakening of Europeans. And this awakening of Europeans caused them to say, you know, we are land poor, resource poor, and we're going to go out and see what's out there in their explorations. You know, Marco Polo, an Italian, he leaves and he goes to China. He comes back and people think that pasta is Italian because Marco Polo was an Italian. But now pasta is not Italian. Pasta is Chinese. People think that rice is Chinese. But no, rice is African. And so what Marco Polo came back with that was most important to the European was gunpowder, fireworks, which Chinese used for celebration. And what Europeans did was fashion superior weaponry. And then they got the map-making and ship-making capabilities from the Moors. So now all of these things help facilitate Europeans' conquest, Europeans' rise, going around the world, claiming everybody's stuff in the name of Spain, Portugal, France, England, Germany, whatever. And they didn't come to barter. They didn't come to bargain. They came to take. They came to subjugate. They came to eliminate. They came to take your resources, take your land, kill your people, enslave your people. You know, there's something that it becomes very clear, and it should be very clear to us. Not that people, I mean, there are some Caucasians, people would say there are some nice people, some individuals might be that. I'm not going to question that. I ain't talking about them. I'm talking about the Caucasian collective. I'm talking about the Caucasian mindset that is permeated around this world, has those who want to be and must be and maintain dominance and control. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about somebody who you know or may be your girlfriend or wife or maybe a relative because of all the miscegenation and things that have gone on. We ain't talking about that. We're talking about a dominance and control that puts us as African people in a very tenuous position. Because one thing about Europeans that I've come to understand, they've always found a better way to kill your ass. Okay? They've all,
so true.
Ain't that true? From the very Absolutely. Beginning, it is. They've all, I mean, they put energy and thought into torture. Remember the Inquisition?
Yes.
And then, of course, our enslavement. You've seen those things that they put on us, the chains and so forth, stuff on our face, on our necks. I'm telling you, these folks ain't nothing nice. And, of course, yes. That mentality is still there today. So don't get it twisted, people. Don't get it twisted that because of what they have done and continuing to do is the reason why what we're talking about is so vitally important.
You know. My brother, I respectfully ask for 4 minutes, okay? I'm going to share some little bit of information to show that our perception of ourselves is a demoralizing illusion because in the psychological warfare, it says to overcome a superior force, you must convince them that they are the inferior. And I'm going to show that because our information about ourselves is controlled by whites, we don't know our greatness. Our greatness is intentionally being kept from us because that's how white dominance is maintained. I'm going to share some things that many people don't know. And this is for those who have such a negative view of who we are, the negative narratives. In America, you could go from 1 to 75 years old and never hear a positive narrative from the dominant white society about black people. Every day we hear negative. Every day, every statistics are negative. There's a reason for this. And I'm going to discuss on that's how white dominance is being maintained. Your perception of reality is an elaborate illusion. History is a lie. Religion is a control system. Media is manipulation. Government is a corporation. And at its core are evil white men perpetuating the myth of white superiority. The entire system is illusion. The basic tool for the manipulation of reality is to control all societal narratives and media images. Okay? Societies are actually scripted. If you can control the narratives and control the media image, you can control the people who believe the content. Because white people control the media and control the narrative, they use this control to perpetuate the myth of their superiority, and they demoralize black people. Social scientists says this, what they're doing is called instilling a value system into the minds of black people that makes black people more compliant with white dominance over their lives. There are two kinds of information. There's some kind of information that you hear, you're just hearing rhetoric. But then when you hear truth, truth expands the mind. It enlightens you. And this information, if you understand what I'm saying, it will enlighten you. Your perceptions have been placed into your mind by white social engineering scientists. That's how white society maintained their dominance. Black self-contempt, these people calling in, putting down their race, that has been indoctrinated into your mind deliberately. I'm going to show you narratives of the reality. Do you know that without black people, there would exist no skyscrapers? This is because black people invented the elevator, the air conditioner, and the central heating. Alexander Miles invented the elevator. Frederick Jones, the air conditioner. Alice Parker, a black woman, invented the heating furnace, which provides central heating. Without black people, there wouldn't be any cars, because black people invented the motor, the spark plug, and the earliest car called the horse's carriage. J. Gregory invented the motor. Ed Berger invented the spark plug. A black inventor named Charles Richard invented the first car. If you enjoy using the internet, thank Philip Amigo, a Nigerian scientist. He's regarded as the father of the internet because he invented the first supercomputer that can connect with other computers, which led to us using the internet. If you enjoy sending emails, thank an African-American named Emmett McHenry. He invented the system that we know they call .com. The reason why we can email is because of a black man. If you enjoy using a digital cell phone, thank an African-American named Jesse Eugene. He's the inventor of digital technology. If you enjoy using the modern PC, thank an African-American man named Dr. Marg Dean. Dean is the inventor of the modern computer, the standard industry we use today. Dr. Thomas Mensah, a Ghanaian, he's the inventor of fiber optic and nanotechnology. He holds 14 global patents. Dr. Patrice Bass, an African-American scientist, invented and patented the cataract laser probe. She's the reason why millions of people around the world can see, because of her machines she invented. Mark Hanna developed the 3D graphics technology that's used in movies. A black man is the reason why you can watch 3D movies. Shirley Ann Jackson made several telecommunications. She invented the touchtone, caller ID, and call waiting, a black woman. Mary Van Britten Brown, she invented the first home surveillance security system. Henry Simpson invented the non-digital cell phone, 1983. Now, here is one that will surprise you. Although we're taught that the false narrative that Edison gave us the light, when Thomas Edison invented his light, it sometimes only burned for an hour. It wasn't proficient. No company purchased it from him. No government pursued him. It was the light bulb invented by a black man, Louis Latimer. When he invented his light bulb, that's when the government bought it from him. When companies bought it from him, and he went around the world installing light bulbs. So it was a black man that took the world out of darkness, not a white man. But they teach us in school the narrative that it was Thomas Edison, although his light bulb didn't burn for more than an hour. We are functioning based upon false narrative. You have to understand how this works. Gerald A. Lawson invented the first home video game cartridge. Percy invented the process for birth control and cortisone, a black person. The first, as you know, the lawnmower, the elevator, all these technologies, pencil sharp, it goes on, but I'm looking for another one. The first successful open heart surgery, was performed by a black doctor in a black hospital. And after he achieved it, white doctors from around the world came to see him and sit at his feet and listen, and he taught them. My point to you is your perception of your reality is a white deception. Until you understand how the system works, you will always be mentally enslaved. It is not a supernatural. It is not witchcraft. It is not a curse. It is a science. It is a science. Regardless of how intelligent a person may be, if you can control the instruments that fit into your mind, you can control their perception. You can even distort their perception of reality. You can distort their perception of themselves. Black people's perception of themselves is an illusion, a demoralizing illusion, because the dominance, to maintain dominance over black people, white people turn us against ourselves. When a people are oppressed for a long time, their collective aggression against their oppressors will continue to grow until acts of rebellion becomes inevitable. This is a part of the human psyche, and this is what was happening during the 1960s, all the mass rebels and boycotts and fighting. So in 1968, they recognized they had to find a new way of controlling us, and they started using mass manipulation. We are being conditioned. The way the dominant people, the dominant society, prevents the oppressed from attacking them is to turn the collective aggression of the oppressed away from the oppressors and turn it against themselves. So we are constantly bombarded with information that is designed to make us believe that it's we who are our own worst enemy.
Oh.
We are our own worst enemy.
I hate that.
This is achieved by constantly inundating us with negative information about ourselves. Here's an example of how this system works. If you're listening, this will illuminate your mind. you're functioning from wrong perception. Imagine there was a ship, and the ship was out at sea with a crew, a functioning ship and a functioning crew. And let's say second ship is following that ship and bombarding that ship with demoralizing messages constantly, 24/7, telling the crew that their ship is slowly sinking, not seaworthy, that they're incompetent, that there's a mutiny being planned, and you continuously bombard them with negative information about themselves. With time, the crew constantly receiving negative messages, unable to refute or confirm them, they will eventually grow weary. They will start to become deceived by the negative information, and they will start to distrust their own, resent their own, hate their own. Some of them will become so bombarded with internalized self-contempt, they will dive into the water and swim toward the taunting ship, believing it is superior, even though it's not. This is how we create coons, toms. They have been demoralized to a point where they hate their own. They want to marry outside their own. They feel like there's something less about themselves. This is why our people brag as, oh, I got white in me. Oh, I'm not African. This is by design. It is a science. Until you study the science, you will always be a mental slave. I'm telling you, we've now been here 400 years. If you still hear gossiping and talking about your people, or you're talking about Willie Lynch, or your people ain't shit, you are a slave. You are a mental slave. They create a prison for your mind. But I can only show you the window. You don't have to walk through it. You have to understand the science. You have to study social engineering. You have to study how we are being socialized. There's a reason why we're getting free education from the white man. Because the education is designed to program our minds to think in ways that protect his dominance. So then we get our degrees and we work for him. Church does not liberate us. That's why we preach, we call the name Jesus, and in the same sentence, we call ourselves niggers. Unless you recognize the monopoly the oppressors have over your mind, you will always be a slave. If you want to call them and put down your people, you are a fool. Your perceptions have been formed by men you've never heard of. Study Edward Bernays. Study the Tavistock Institute of Human Behavior. And if you want to buy a book from them, they charge you $50,000. You know why? They want to keep that knowledge out of your hands. You have to recognize what's being done to you. We are now at the 400-year anniversary. And if you want to just sit here and call them gossip and gossip, then you want to stay a slave. We must exchange information that illuminates us, that lifts us up, that teaches the truth. And we must stop functioning based upon the white man narrative. People function based upon narrative. And let me give you another example of how this works. Let's say you have a city, you have a town. And in this town, the people, they're very friendly. It's a very friendly town. Then you start putting up brochures, billboards, saying this is the most unfriendliest town, the most unfriendliest town, the most unfriendliest town, and the people keep hearing this is the most unfriendliest town. People start functioning based upon the narrative, and they start acting unfriendly, start reacting to the information. They become the narrative that's imposed upon them. This is how we function. We have to understand that our perception has been hijacked, and because our perception has been of ourselves hijacked, we are mentally enslaved. The black image is controlled by white people. When you're watching television and you see a black character, he is barely a puppet because there are only 4.6 television writers. And the number of movie writers that are black is even smaller. So when you're seeing a black man image on screen, over 90% of the time, he is speaking the words from a white writer, a white director. The white man controls our image. He controls what we believe about ourselves. And his objective is to keep us divided because that protects his power, his dominance. His objective is to keep us self-hating. So when you get on here and hear what happens, then when you go out and you have a negative interaction with a black person, those negative interactions confirm the programming. Now you really believe it's true. For example, you always hear a story that the black man is sorry or the black woman is sorry. You're better off getting a white person, right? A black woman who gets on here and says that black men are sorry, you ask her how many bad experiences she had. How many bad experiences? In her lifetime with a black man, the most she might tell you is 4. There's no way 4 incidents with a black man is enough to quantify that all black men are shit. But because she's given the narrative over and over about black men, it's the, her experience that solidifies it in the head that the programming is true, although it is not. Your perception of reality is a white deception. Until you understand this, you are mentally enslaved. If you want to call it this, I can't stand black people get my damn nerve, you are mentally enslaved. It is not natural. It is not organic to hate your own. That's self-contempt. That's a part of a programming. It is not the natural condition of the human condition to hate your own. When you're hating your own, putting down your own, this is a result of social engineering. We are being socially engineered by white men you've never heard of. It is a science. It is a real science. And I'm saying this with passion. I'm trying to reach you. Because the hardest prison to break the rest of people from is a prison for their minds. And as long as the white man control the media we watch, control the information to our head, he's able to manipulate us. You have to recognize this. This is the 400-year anniversary of the first slave brought to America. And if you still go on hating your own or saying dumb shit like Willie Lynch, you are a mental slave. And that's why I'm emphasizing on this 400-year anniversary. If you're going to call in, stay on the subject. Because we have to lift up. We have to wake up. It's time to wake up.
Ashe. Ashe. Let me tell you this. We're going to take a break. I got some callers. I'm going to take those callers after the break. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Today, of course, is Wednesday, and my co-host is, you see, he is on fire, but I don't blame him because this is what time it is. When we talk about the 400 years of our, and I ain't talking about some damn achievements of here and there, the first, we're still talking about the first damn Negro to do this or that. Damn that. We're looking at getting out of this madness. 400 years is more than enough time.
When we come back, I'm going to share some studies with you. You know how every time we hear medical reports, it's always that black people's bodies are worse than whites? Every time you hear a study, whites are better, whites are better. You always hear that black people are more sickly, black people are more this. I'm going to show you studies that a white man hides from you when we get back. I'm going to show you medical results that the white man conceals from you to instill the myth of his superiority into your subconscious mind.
All right. Once again, when we get back, and want to get those callers. Brothers and sisters, okay, once again, right. This is African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programs here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays. After my program, I'm here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia. Right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And this evening, Wednesday, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 to 12. And then on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening from 7 p.m. until it is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And we're going to get back to the discussion. I know that I haven't talked about Carter G. Woodson. Of course, I haven't been here since the beginning. But on Friday, I'll have some in-depth discussion on Carter G. Woodson. And one thing that our good brother Franklin Jones talked about, which Carter G. Woodson understood very clearly, if you control a man's thinking, you don't have to worry about his actions. If you render a man an outcast, he will be an outcast. If you keep sending him to the back door, even when there is no damn back door, he'll want one because why? You have conditioned him to accept a back door. It's about the mind. That's why this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody want, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brother Franklin, we got some callers. I know you wanted to make a point. Let me take a caller here. 447. How you doing?
Yes, good afternoon, Brother Oshie, and good morning, I should say. Brother Oshie and Brother Franklin Jones, how are you this morning?
We're doing fine. Brother. We're doing fine. How are things in the UK, man?
Well, Brother, you know, it's a struggle, and they're certainly raising up the heat. It seems like they've reintroduced this hostile environment. But
yeah.
In reality, as Brother Franklin says, it's all a mind game, and I'm absolutely with him on there. You know, I was listening to his summary, and I was thinking to myself, I don't know whether to stand up and line up and say, yes, sir, Sergeant Major. I feel like I'm being put back in the army.
Yeah. Yes, sir, aye, aye.
But you know, I'm absolutely standing shoulder to shoulder with that. And I'm glad that he made it. Well, you've got to stay on point because, you know, for me, I've said it before and I say it again, this is my favorite program of all time because it absolutely goes straight to the heart of the matter, absolutely to the heart of the matter. And I absolutely know that this whole thing is governed by the mind and control of the mind.
Yes.
And I absolutely know that, even Marcus Garvey says, in his own words, he says, they're bluffing you, yeah? And, you know, I grew up in East London, you know, in England, I have to say it, I grew up in this country, England. How did this little country go around the world and conquer it? How did it? How are you in America, who call yourself American, speaking English, but yet you call yourself American? You're speaking English. You're speaking the Queen's English. That's what you're speaking. Yeah. How did they manage to do this around the world? Mind control, absolutely mind control.
Yes.
I had everybody believing that, it's still to this day, Brother Franklin, it's still working. You know, they keep calling themselves American. I keep telling them they're speaking English, but they don't get it. Yeah. But the bottom line is they have used this weapon of mind control around the world. And I would say this, as you well know, is where it starts. This is the seed bank. This is where they stole all the ideas and the ideologies. And they said, this is weird, my brother. They wrote the Bible and they sent it around the world. You call it the basic instructions before leaving England. They were sent to America and it convinced all the so-called Americans to read this Bible and believe in it and accept it. And they do. They do. And they will fight for it. And they will defend it. They will argue for it. Yeah, but it was made in England and sent to America for a purpose, to keep them in a state of mind control.
Yes, that's
they don't
right.
They understand that. They really don't get it.
That's right. Yeah. The King, Paul. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It was the King James Version of 1611, the King James, which is most widely used, particularly by us, with those and thous, the King James Version. And, of course, there have been many other versions of the Bible. And I don't want to get off into the religious sense right here, right now.
Yeah. But the religion is appropriate because it is a propaganda tool used for controlling the masses. And it's funny when you talk about King James because he was a murderous homosexual who fell in love with his cousin. You know, people don't know that story.
Right.
They say, no, this is the word of God. This is the word of God. It's ridiculous.
No, and you're right. Go ahead, Paul.
Go ahead, Paul. Brother Paul.
It's the basic instructions before leaving England, that book they call the Bible, is a serious weapon of mass mind control. And it's absolutely on form. And it is painful, Brother Franklin and Brother O.T.
Yes.
It's a very painful thing when you come to the realization
you've
been hoodwinked,
mm-hmm.
And you're trying to... And that level of hoodwink is even in your own family.
That's true.
Mother and father. It's a painful thing, brother, and it's... You know, and whenever you bring it up, my brother, when you try and explain to them, you know, that this thing is not what it makes out to be.
They don't understand. They don't.
But the first thing they tell you is the reason why you say that because you don't believe in God. And I'm just going to say this last thing. Have you ever come across the word tetragrammaton? Have you ever come across that word?
No.
Well, I just found out recently. I've gone back to math because I realized that math is the language of the universe. I've gone back to the basics to refresh my mind again. I came across this word tetragrammaton. Tetra means four-sided. But then I found out something very, very profound. Tetragrammaton is actually the word which the Hebrew Yahweh, the acronym for Yahweh, translates into tetragrammaton. It's unbelievable. Go and look it up, yeah? Now, what that really means is that what I'm trying to say to you is that a pyramid is actually a four-sided building. And if you don't know, in the mind, the cells that form in the mind actually form like a pyramid. But they are working some serious science on us. Trust me on that one. So I absolutely agree with you, Brother Franklin. They are absolutely working some deep mental mind control science on us. So you're absolutely on point. And,
You know, the quote, what you said earlier about Marcus Garvey said, the white man's propaganda has made him master of the world, and all who accept it become his slaves. And that is so true. People don't realize that we're constantly being programmed. Like, for example, even when we look at a map, the maps made in the Western Hemisphere deliberately makes Africa appear smaller, and it makes white countries look larger. When we look in our history books and you're always seeing those pictures of a black man, an African carrying an African slave to the white people, that's all about propaganda. That's instilled within our minds that the ones who was greater responsible for the enslavement of Africans was African themselves. All around us, we're being bombarded with information, false information that are designed to program our minds. Propagandists, there's a saying among propagandists, and it goes, perception is more important than reality because people function based upon their perception of reality. It is a science that we need to understand. Like a point I made earlier, when I said that the first successful open-heart surgery was performed by a black man in a black hospital, and then white doctors from around the world came to him to learn. But then today, many black people refuse to have a black doctor. They insist on a white doctor because their perceptions are white are smarter. White doctors are better. We have to understand how our perceptions have been hijacked. It's a science. our perception of reality has been hijacked by white people because they control most of the information we receive. We don't understand the science. It's how we liberate ourselves.
We have another caller. We're going to take this call. 404-404.
Hey, my brothers, y'all hear me, Ocean?
Hey, Wes, how you doing, man? All right,
hey,
go ahead.
I'm still seeking knowledge, man. Okay,
always.
I'm seeking the subject, man.
Okay.
About this mind control, man. Okay, and my man Franklin, you right. See, I got a black doctor. I go to Morehouse School of Medicine. That's mm-hmm. my doctor. And my mm-hmm. doctor, just like me, black as midnight, 12:30. He's a little bit older than me. So what he experienced, I'm experienced. And I love Morehouse, man. A matter of fact, do y'all know in Morehouse is a sister called Dr. Hadil Smith Green. Are y'all familiar with her?
No.
No, no.
Well, this sister is a physicist, and she discovered the cure for cancer, man, using light, laser, and nanoparticles, man. You can Google her.
You know,
I remember. I posted an article on my page about her.
I do too. But let me just say this about that. Number one, and there may be because, you know, Dr. Sabi cured AIDS. Dr. Sabi did a lot of things homeopathically. But the bottom line is the medical industry and the pharmaceutical industry are in cahoots. There are no cures. There are only treatments. They ain't curing a damn thing. They want you to have cancer. Well, they want you to have these ailments. Go ahead.
They use that Hegelian dialect. They create the problem.
Yeah.
Get the reaction to come up with a solution, and they benefit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. And speaking, I'm gonna speak to the subject about this about the mind, how they use the mind. Mm-hmm. We just witnessed the biggest psyop mind control last Sunday. Okay, y'all in Atlanta, this damn Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, that granted, it's a few black people made money. Hey, that's good. I like the one that, you know, vendors. Mm-hmm. And some of the entertainment.
Nah, there was Wes. They were busting their ass. They went up in the Greenbrier. They went on the streets.
Yeah.
They didn't want you selling anything that had an ATL L111 or LIII, which is 53. You see, and they went up in the Greenbrier snatching up some stuff. So you know they wanted to make sure that they got all the money. You know.
Well, some brothers made some money, man.
I'm glad for them.
Yeah. The Benders, I know this one brother. He was on the sidewalk selling hot dogs and selling refreshments, man.
Good for him.
So, but the point, that's cool. Mm-hmm. But what pissed me off, all these Negroes went up there spending money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because, see, I read a quote by Jackie Robinson. That was 100 years old a couple of days ago. His quote was, check this out. He said he could not stand and sing the damn national anthem or salute a damn flag because of stuff he black and black people going through. Okay? That was Jackie Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson said that towards the latter part of his life, when he realized all the struggles that he had gone through and basically nothing was changed, understanding that he was a Republican, he really believed in the society, he believed in Caucasians acting right, doing right, being right, until finally he realized, like many of our other people finally realized, that it hasn't happened, it ain't happening, and it ain't gonna happen. And so given that reality, he said that, he stated that. You know, and then he died some years later because of complications of diabetes. Go ahead, Wes.
Yes, sir. And see, once a lot of people waking up, man. I agree with my man Frank. Not too many waking up, but more and more waking up every day.
Well, and that's our job.
This is the way I look at it, man. To me, these damn crackers ain't turning the heat up enough on these Negroes, man. That's the way I look at it. Once they keep turning the heat up more and more and more, we don't have no choice but to wake up, man.
Hey, since you mentioned the Super Bowl, I'd like to interject something. There were books written many years ago before the first arena was even built. It was to talk about these group of elites, the Bilderbergs and all of them. And they said that they said in the future they're going to build arenas. And in these arenas, they're going to have sporting events. And the sporting event with one team going against another team, they say the psychiatrist said touches
the primal thing within the human nature about your team, my team, us against them. And it says it allows the elites controlling these teams to control the masses. So it diverts our attention and our aggression towards football teams. So the wealthy so the wealthy people are getting richer, and the masses are being controlled. We are controlled. It's called the group mind and the herd mentality. Everything, this entire system, it's a science. There's a science for controlling large population. And once you study the science of controlling large populations, you understand what's being done. Yes, the white masses are being controlled by the elites also, because that's how the rich whites keep the poor whites from attacking them by turning the whites against us. It's a science. It's a science. You have to understand how the system works. Yes. And as long as you don't understand the science, we will be their slaves. And that's the reality. You have to understand we are being socialized. We are being socialized. Yes, study what socialized means. Study social engineering.
My man, we're being weaponized, man. Yeah. Weaponized. They use the weapon. We at war, bro.
All right, Wes. Hold on, Wes. We have another caller, 646.
Brother Oshie, it's good to see you back from your stint as driving Mr. Davis. I hope that you did well and that the smell of them urugles didn't hurt you too bad as you carried them back and forward to watch the worst Super Bowl in the history
of Super Bowl.
Country.
That's true.
So I hope that you were blessed to make a lot of money so that you can go back home this summer and be around our beautiful, beautiful African brothers and sisters.
That is my hope and prayer, brother.
Good afternoon to you, Mr. Franklin Jones.
Hello, my brother.
I have to be brief today and just say that if at this time, 400 years since our enslavement, we don't understand that we are in a constant war with this devil, there's nothing more that we can say or do, I believe, at this time to wake our people up. If you don't get it by now, you're just not going to get it. I mean, I understand that they put forward all type of smoke screens, narratives.
Oh, Wes. Hello? Brother Jay got cut off. But I want to go.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to say about, give an example of how our culture, what we call our culture, and we don't realize that our culture, what we consider our culture, is being manufactured by the white society. Like, for example, many black people in America believe that it was truly we that decided to call ourselves niggers. And they believe the narrative, we made the word our own, we made it into power. That's a lie. It was white social engineering scientists that got us calling ourselves niggers. Okay, there's a subject is when you're watching the media, your mind is in a state. It's not like when you're in a debate when you say I agree with this or I don't agree with that. You're in what's called an alpha state. You're not debating, and this allows the person giving you the programming to embed things in your mind without you realizing it. It's called thinking without thinking. It's a science.
Right. It's indoctrination.
And here's how they got us calling ourselves niggers. When they started making the black exploitation movies, that before those movies came out, the word nigger was an offensive word. You couldn't say it in your house. You couldn't say it around your grandmama. You couldn't say it because those generations, they knew the horrific torture, abuse that followed the word nigger. They know how they had family members killed just because the white men think they're a nigger. They know the pain associated with that word. But the white man started making these black exploitation movies. And black people flung to these movies because these movies gave us heroes that we didn't have before. They gave us black people fighting against establishment. We see Shaft, Superbad. But these characters were affectionately calling themselves niggers. What's up, my nigga? You know, and so when we watch these movies, we bought into the narrative. Okay, that's us. It's okay for us to call ourselves niggers. These movies were written by whites, directed by whites. The black exploitation films. White people control our image. Those who control the image of a people control their culture, steers their culture. White people tell us how we dress, how we walk. That's how it works. For example, if you for example, let's say you have you want black people to start walking around with a yellow Astro comb in their back right pocket. All you do is put that image in movie videos, pictures depicted as cool and trendy. The black youth will see that image and start imitating it. People think that the media reflects our reality. In reality, it's most often we imitate what we learn from the media. It's called media social engineering. It is a science that the dominant society used to control the masses and target the population. The white man tells us who we are. The white man's control of our image has thrown us walking around like fools. And we believe that's who we are. And some of us literally believe that I think we're a curse. No, it's a science of social engineering.
Yeah.
And we must understand those who control the media image of a people control their culture. This is a science.
And see, what we also must understand too, Brother Frank, is that the culture that we're in is a subculture because of the alienation and ostracizing from the dominant culture. This is not African culture. This is a subverted culture from the Europeans.
I love what you just said. We are a subculture, but why is this different? If you look at a picture of the black community during the 1940s, 1950s, they were then a subculture, and they lived under segregation. But if you look at their image, you look how they dress, you look how they carry themselves, you can tell that there is something deeper being done to us. In the 1950s, the 1960s, we called each other. We say, hello, my brother. Hello, my sister. We said, black is beautiful. I'm black and I'm proud. Say it loud. Today, we said, what's up, my nigga? Hey, bitch. Hey, ho. So you see, we have decreased. Our culture has deteriorated, which shows that these behavior we're seeing is not the result of slavery. If it was a result of slavery, the condition would decrease with each new generation. It wouldn't get worse. Like when in the 60s we had Afros, today we're wearing blonde perms and blonde weeds. That's because we're being socially engineered by whites who control our image. We have to understand how we are being socially engineered. Our negative perception, you can live an entire life under white dominance and never hear one positive narrative about black people. Every day is negative, and that's by design. Do you not see how unrealistic that is? That's how we're being controlled. We're being turned against ourselves because they control our image. They tell us who we are, and we have to start learning. And these people, they deliberately, remember we talked about during the Jimmy Carter administration when Zabrinsky wrote a memo and he said to protect the white world, we have to keep the African Americans and the Native Africans divided economically, socially, everything. Do you know that this was greatly achieved by the creation of the Black Hebrew religion? The Black Hebrew religion used a false religion written by Europeans, and they used that to justify a hatred for Africans. So now you got millions of African Americans hating Native Africans, and we have the same damn DNA.
Yeah.
Based upon a false myth that we are the Jews. There were no Jews in Israel. I mean, there were no Jews in Egypt. That's a lie.
No, it's a lie.
In fact, when you study facts, I'll give an example. Biblical historian says that Shem, the progenitor of the Jews, survived the Great Flood 4,300 years ago. Shem is the father of the Jews. The latest most advanced study of the Great Pyramid says over 12,000 years old. The latest study on the Great Sphinx says even much older than the Great Pyramid. So therefore, if the Sphinx and the Pyramid are older than the first Jew, then how the hell the Jews built them?
Because they did.
They didn't.
Right, because they didn't.
That's the point I'm trying to make.
Right.
People function based upon narrative. It doesn't matter that the narratives are untrue. They function based upon if they believe the narratives are true. This is a science that most people understand. I'll give you another example. We know that the European Jews are in no way connected to Jews of the Bible. First of all, we know that the story is in hand, it's fictionalized. But because they call themselves the Jews, they function based upon that narrative. Look how they unify. Look at their power. Even though the narrative is a false one. You give people narrative, you impose narrative upon people, and they function based upon the narrative. And the greatest example of that is the Bible. The Bible is a work of fiction, okay? A work of fiction. But look at the millions of churches and temples and TV programs for the Bible. So it shows you how people function based upon narratives when they believe that the narratives are real. This is a science that our people have to understand. And we have to teach each other, share it. Our minds are constantly under attack by narratives that whites impose upon us. We don't function off our own narratives. We have to start writing our own narratives. Whites write our history. Whites write our narrative. Whites write our statistics. Whites control our media image. So whites tell us who we are. And their objectives always tell us that we're less than them, that we ain't shit.
That's right.
And then we walk up to white, and you see these black people feel insecure around whites. They walk in a room, they start to speak, they think that they are inferior to whites. This is not Willie Lynch. This is not a slave syndrome. It is a socialization. Every day is happening. And they started programming from the time we were kids in school.
Let me get Paul back into this conversation. Brother Paul from the UK.
Yes, Father, sorry about that. You know, I don't know if Franklin Jones is aware of this, Father, about Franklin Jones, but I read somewhere that in the Korean War, I think it was the Fabian Society, along with Sigmund Freud and some of his chums, so-called chums, designed a program to initiate against American soldiers. It was a type MCO. I think this was the first time it was actually rolled out. And a lot of drugs are used, psychedelic drugs are used.
Yes.
And this program was taken back after the Korean War. It was taken back into America. This is something that stems, again, connected to the Tavistock Institute. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yes. Also, are you familiar with Operation Paperclip? When the war with the Nazis, America gave immunity to many Nazi scientists, including propaganda scientists, social engineering scientists, and brought them to America. So we're seeing many the same tactics that they use when they demoralize the Jews. We're victims of the same demoralization system that divide us. In order to facilitate the mistreatment of the Jews, the European Jews, the Kaiser Jews, the Nazis started putting out propaganda vilifying the Jews, and they blamed the Jews for being wrong, for everything that was wrong in society. The tactic was called manufactured consent.
Yeah, but
that
manufactured
consent tactic is what they used on us.
But see, it's different, though. Brother Frank, it's different because what they used on European Jews was to get people who are not European Jews to hate them, to despise them, and to justify that, as opposed to what they did to us. They made us hate ourselves. The European Jew.
I'm going there next. Ours is far worse. Yes,
okay.
Ours is far worse because, they use a tactic called manufactured consent where they vilify us and criminalize us. They criminalize us to make others insensitive to our plight, and dehumanize us for the same reason. But with us, they also turn our collective aggressions against ourselves. And here's why. The Jews' oppression was less than 12 years. Our oppression has been for 400 years. There are different tactics that's required for long-term oppression. When you're doing a long-term oppression, when people are oppressed for long, like I said before, their collective aggression will increase against the oppressors, and the rebellion starts. That's what we start seeing in the 60s. So to stop our collective aggression, what happens with long-term oppression, they're turned against ourselves. That's what I'm saying. So the Jews didn't have a long-term oppression. For us, they turn our collective aggressions ourselves. That prevents us from attacking them. In fact, this system is so proficient that if you and I, who are awakened, try to attack the white establishment, they are programmed blacks who will jump on us. Mm-hmm. You see, there are those who hate us, and they will fight us to protect the white.
Mm-hmm.
This is an amazing system when you understand how their monopoly over the mind and how they do us. You know, like we were saying earlier, if I may go on. Remember, I said in America, I meet countless number of African Americans who believe that the bodies of black people are genetically inferior to that of whites. Okay, even though black people hold all the physical records and the sporting events, they buy into the illusion that whites are somehow superior. And the reason, because every study a result, and they always talk comparison between black and white. And the studies, 9 out of 10 always favor them. They even have this new study they put out 2 years ago saying that studies found that white people age more slowly than black. Say what? They put that out 2 years ago. But see, and we laugh. I mean, okay, I'll give you an example. Remember when they put out the image of the white Nefertiti? The white Nefertiti?
Right.
So we know she wasn't white. We know she wasn't white. But what it does is, people function based upon the narratives they believe about them. So the white, it boosts the self-esteem of whites. You know, Ann Coulter, you know, the racist lady on Fox, she said right. it is our right within a white society to protect our position of power and to protect the self-esteem of our people. It is our right to do this. Black people don't understand how this works.
See, that's the thing. See, hold on.
Yeah.
That's the reason why many of our people don't understand that to the Caucasian, what they did to us was
and continue to do
to us is a justification. It's a means to an end for their dominance and control. They had to, in their belief, they had to do this. And to them, it's really you benefit too because of who I am and what I'm about. You know, you can take part in this. Now you'll be in a subservient position, but isn't what I've done grand? Look at the things that I've done. See, so they throw that up in your face to make you think. I got some feedback here. See if I can do that, because they'll throw that up in our face to make us think that really we're better off having them do what they did to us. We're somehow better off, you know, that what happened to us and the erasing of our minds and turning us against ourselves, you know, that somehow we're better off for that. We live in America.
That's another reason.
Go ahead.
That's another reason why Africa is always negatively depicted. We have to understand there's a global psychological warfare. The denigration of Africa protects white supremacy because when we're constantly seeing negative images of Africa, it instills within our mind that slavery did us a favor. Slavery rescued us from the backwards place of Africa. Africa is seen as a place of shame and embarrassment, humiliation. And this makes us feel that the white man did us a favor. So we never demanded the reparation we owe. The negative depiction of Africa benefits the system of white supremacy. The white man controls what we believe of Africa, and their goal is to show us that you came from nothing. We did you a favor. We have to understand how our minds are. And another example of our minds, when Barack Obama was president, he did nothing legislatively for black people. But you know what black people say? You know what he did for us? He said that we could conduct ourselves in an intelligent manner. I said, what? You said mindset? Where even though he did nothing, he created no laws, he did nothing to change to better our condition of the people, we said, well, at least he represented himself right. A person who takes on this mindset has a mind that's been socialized by the white society. We believe the worst of ourselves because we're always given the worst demoralizing information about ourselves. Whenever those in power want to control the minds of the oppressed, they continually demoralize them. So we have a fraudulent perception. Now, if I may, I'm going to say it really quick. I'm gonna share a little bit of medical research that they don't tell you because they want you to believe whites are superior. There's only a few. Okay, in the development of psychology of a black child, Dr. Amos analyzed study conducted by white social scientists that revealed significant difference between how black babies develop compared to European babies. The study found that at 9 hours old, African babies were able to prevent their heads from falling back. It took European babies roughly 6 weeks to accomplish this. By the time African babies were 11 months, they were able to climb the steps alone, while European babies typically didn't accomplish it until they were 15 months. There is even more. Studies have also found that whites also are more prone to lifetime mental disorders than blacks. Four recent studies funded by the National Institute of Mental Health found that whites, report that whites have the highest rate of lifetime mental disorders. It goes on. I have so much more, but I can keep reading, but I'm going to start reading, see, some distraction. But no, I have so much more. I explain why is about whites, the difference in bone density, how we have a stronger bone density than whites. It's a whole study that you never hear about. They hide it from you.
Because, see, the reality is this. We're the first humans. We're the first humans on the planet. We're the first Homo sapiens sapiens in the form that you see. You see?
Study proved that.
Exactly. And so our problem, though, is that we believe these Caucasian narratives, which puts them in a position. Right. But yet.
Most people doesn't know that black skin and woolly hair is the direct result of Homo sapien DNA. White skin and recessive animalistic hair is the result of Neanderthal DNA. Because you see albinos in Africa, that does not mean we gave birth to them. Albinos do not have DNA. Europeans are not albinos.
Right.
The study has found that 2 years ago, Europeans are not albinos. Their skin is white as a result of Neanderthal DNA. That's why their skin is white.
Right.
The whites always give us narrative that favors them.
Let me
now
get a.
We now perm our hair to look like Neanderthals.
Right.
We bleach our skin to look like Neanderthals. They have animalistic hair, but now we want to have animalistic hair like them,
yeah,
rather than the human hair that we have.
Let me get Jay in here. Jay.
Hey, Brother Oshi. Sorry about that, man. Something happened to my phone. Let me ask you this. And this is a serious, serious question. Why shouldn't white people treat us the way they do?
Why shouldn't they, or why do they?
No, why shouldn't they?
Why shouldn't they? No, the bottom line is that if you look at human development, and the reason why Caucasians treat us the way they do, because they know that instinctively they're the least developed humans on the planet. We're the most developed humans on the planet, but yet they have subverted this whole thing and they treat us the way they do, just as Dr. Francis Cress Welsing said, out of their basic survival. They're fighting for their genetic survival. So that's why they treat us the way they do. And also too, one could argue they treat us the way they do because they want to be us because they ain't us. You know?
And one could also say, it's because we allow them to. See, at some point in time, we're going to have to admit that in our development as a people, we are not growing on the level that we should be in regards to our relationship with them. That we're too submissive, subservient, and all other type of issues to not deal with them directly in the fashion to which we need to be. We too busy trying to emulate them, be like them, and want what they have to ever get to the point to where as we wish for our own independent sovereignty. Until we get to that point, this is going to be a continuous process. So we have to figure out how we can change the mindset of our people. Until we get to that point, this is just going to be a continuous Ferris wheel that we're on. And
I agree.
That's one of the problems that we are having as a people. We just can't seem to get off this Ferris wheel.
Yeah, I agree.
There's a saying that those who control the information that's fed into a people control the stem of their brain. The brain stem is controlled. The information that we receive comes from whites. They control our education. They control everything. So they form our opinion. They shape our perception of ourselves and our perception of the world. So to produce the change, we must recognize what's being done to us. To produce the change that you're yearning for, we have to first recognize and overcome the monopoly the white oppressors have on our minds. When we know better, we do better. When we see what's being done to us, we react to it. And this is a part of the human psyche. And I'm giving a quick summary. I've given this before. If you have an African village and their well is being poisoned, okay, so the people are dying in the village. The people not knowing what's happening, they will draw different conclusions. They will draw false conclusions. But you must have an accurate understanding of what's being done to you in order to address it. If your understanding is flawed, then all remedies will be flawed. Now, back to the village. If once the people are made aware that their well is being poisoned, the knowledge as a necessity to survive will produce behavior. They will stop drinking from that well. They will dig a new well. They'll put guards around the new well. They will find out who poisoned the well and go and attack them. The information brings the change. Information changes the mindset. When you know better, you do better. So for our people to have the new behavior, we have to first recognize what's being done to us in order to overcome it. You can't overcome what you don't understand.
You know, this past Sunday, I went to one of these parties, and I had an encounter with a sister. She's from New York, but she now lives here in Atlanta. She's been here in the Atlanta area for over 30-something years. And this sister just didn't want to hear what I had to say in terms. In fact, she kept saying, stop trying to make me think differently, you know, because she kept blaming us. And as I continued to point it out to her, she didn't want to hear the fact that she was blaming us, you know. But of course, she kept blaming us for the conditions that we have and how we treat each other and so forth, not putting the blame where it squarely belongs. But even in her conclusion about the solution to this problem was even more unsettling when she said, I think the best thing is these kids who are born by black men or black people and white people together because they are the saviors. Huh? These children, these offsprings, these mulatto offsprings are the saviors. I should have told her to look at Haiti and look at other places because the bottom line is this. What the European has done is so damn devastating is that any semblance of anybody who is unlike Europeans, their mindset, if they bought into it, is so demoralized, is so negative. They hate themselves so much. You know, I would never forget a episode of The Jeffersons. You never seen Roxy Rooker, who is married to a Caucasian on The Jeffersons, like she's married to a Caucasian in real life. She's Lenny Kravitz's mother, you know. But she played that particular part. And so they had a daughter who was dating Lionel, George Jefferson's son. But they had a son that you never seen. And so in this one episode, when I was living in Norfolk, Virginia, ironically, he appeared. He appears in the sitcom. And what was so deep and telling to me, even though I haven't seen this episode, but just one time way back in the early 70s, like think of 73 or 74. But anyway,
I know where you're going.
You know what I'm going with? Yeah, because
know exactly where you're going.
She felt so bad that she said to him, why couldn't it have been me?
Yes.
Why couldn't have been me who looks like a Caucasian instead of me looking like an African? Why couldn't it have been me?
Yes.
That stuck with me, man.
That's a narrative being programmed. Okay, you know, on the same subject, remember the show Girlfriend?
Yeah.
These five girls were friends?
Right.
You know the really melanated chick with the full, beautiful lips?
Right.
There's a scene, she goes on a blind date, and she meets this millionaire black man. And when she sees him, he's the same color as her. So she said, I can't do that. So he's too dark. So she told the light skinned friend, you know, see, you light skinned, you're okay. I can't have a baby with him. I want to have a light skinned baby. And do you know, on that show, they never correct the narrative. At the end, no one came and corrected her. That narrative went into. So when you saw that show, you got black children watching TV who saw that. Just as back in the 70s when we watched The Jeffersons, saw that scene when Jenny says to her brother, why I couldn't be white? I watched those also. Yeah. We're always getting narratives that exalts whites and put us down. Like I always say, it is no strange occurrence that many black people are now self-hating, perceive themselves as being their own worst enemies, and think favorably of whites in spite of a brutal history to the contrary.
Yeah.
These thoughts and perceptions have been indoctrinated into our minds through white media social engineering without us even realizing it. Yeah. We are being programmed 24/7. And as long as we keep believing in stupid myths, we will always be a slave. Because the white man has no intention of stopping his programming.
No.
He's planning on programming our children and our children's children and our children's children. Until we wake up and recognize what's happening and fight it, that they're going to continue doing it.
Well,
we have to understand.
We have to listen
as
to those.
As long as we're their slaves.
Right. And, you know, we must listen to the words of that great visionary, Stevie Wonder. When you believe in things you don't understand, you suffer. We've been believing in some stuff we have no damn clue about, but yet we've been made to believe that this is something that is good for us. It is our salvation. It is something that we must embrace and share and so forth. But it's to our detriment, and we are suffering people. Let me get some closing remarks. Brother Paul.
Yeah, Brother Archie, I'd just like to say this. You've got to also remember, I think since 9/11, there's been a drastic change in the openness and the assault. You know, this term called New World Order, where they've brought in a lot of different weapons to attack the mind, like chemical cautions such as vaccines, acoustic weapons. You know, we don't really know what goes in these vaccines that we give our children, but we still openly give our children that. But we can guess that it damages the immune system and it suppresses the nerve system, which affects the brain. Also, these new phones, smartphones, the frequency they react to affects the brain signals, and a lot of people give it to the children. You've got to look at these things. Now, with these smartphones, you do have the ability to actually, people don't realize this, send a signal down it, which actually starts to affect the signals in the brain. There's a lot of things which are taking place where people are totally, absolutely ignorant. Yes, we have the narratives are being put out there, but the weapons being used to solidify these attacks are getting more and more advanced, as Brother Franklin, and we've got to be aware of this and stop and work on solutions, because at the end of the day, if we keep sending our children to these systems to be indoctrinated, we only have ourselves to blame. At one time, we've got to realize that our back's up against the wall and really make a difference, because, you know, I can't see how we're going to make any progress if we're still sending our children to our
adversaries
and then complaining when they don't turn out. It doesn't make no sense to me. So sometimes, at some point in time, we have to be brave enough to stand up and say enough is enough.
Ashe, thank you. Brother Wes.
Hey, yes, sir, my brother. Y'all hear me?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Hey, man, look here. I saw this experiment, man, okay? I'm going to be brief. While these brothers was on the street corner, they had a picture of their white Jesus of Africa's, and they put it, throw it on the ground and told black people to step on it. Everybody black they showed too. You know them niggas ran that picture? One or two did step on it, okay? and a lot of Negroes start running. No, I ain't going to step on that Jesus. No. Man, that experiment, man, that blew my mind.
You know why, brother? You know why, Brother Wes?
Yes, sir.
It's because...
Yes, sir.
In their mind, because they've been so mm-hmm. indoctrinated, so trained, their thing mm-hmm. is this. I don't care how much proof you have. I don't care how mm-hmm. much verifiable facts you have. Is mm-hmm. it, as far as that is concerned, I'd rather believe and it not be true than to not believe and it be true. Because if it is true, I'm going to be burning in hell, and I don't want to burn in hell. So I'll continue right, on with that Christian narrative and those Christian images. that have now been indelibly placed into my mind of how I don't give a damn if you have a black Jesus in your church and you have all these other pictures. No, the bottom line is Christianity, Jesus is white. In Christianity, the Jesus is white.
I wish my man, whoever, they should have said, I'll give you $1, $10 to stamp on that, or $100. What you think the Negro would have done, man?
I would have hoped that he took that money and stepped on it.
Yes, sir. I would have stepped on it for free.
Yeah, exactly. All right, dear brother.
Hey, my man Paul right, man.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he right on the money with the tetragrammaton and these weapons, man. Go okay. to stopthecrime.net and Quiet Weapons for Silent Wars.
Okay.
And they're spreading all these damn wicked weapons they're using, man. Peace and blessings, man.
All right,
I love
brother.
Y'all, man. Great dialogue today.
Peace. Brother Jay.
Hey, listen. If you believe in nothing, you'll believe in nothing till the end. Ain't nothing going to change your belief unless you change your mindset on what to believe in. And anytime you believe in the white man, you a fool. And unfortunately, the majority of our people are fools. But hey, Ochi, you just got to keep on doing what you're doing.
And I will.
And I'll be giving you a call later to get a loan for your good work that you just delivered to the devils this past week.
I hear you, Jay.
Brother Ochi, always remember this. We have to do what we have to do to be able to make it back home to be amongst our people. So if you got to be Mr. Daisy again this year, do it, brother.
I'll do it.
You just have to do is just make sure that it goes back to home to be with the people who love you the most and who you love the most.
I say.
Hotep, and have a good day, Brother Franklin Jones. And we continue to rise against this oppressor.
All right, my brother. Peace. All right, Brother Frank.
First of all, I don't endorse the narrative that a majority of our people are fools. When you start those type of narratives forming out of your mind from living under white supremacy, okay? But I will say this. I would say many of our people goes from the cradle to the grave clinging to the white man's fairy tale. And those who cling to fairy tale invite their own destruction.
Yep. Well, brothers and sisters, I appreciate this opportunity once again, as always, to bring to you information that, because, I mean, the whole bottom line of this program is to put something on our minds, to get us to think, to think outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed upon us, to release that vice grip that they have on our minds. And if you understand that tool, once the vice grip is set, you can't pull it apart. I don't care how strong you think you are. You can't pull it. But there's a knob at the end of the handle of the vice grip. And turning that knob is symbolic of acquiring knowledge of self. Now, Brother Frank mentioned and says that if we knew better, we'd do better. I believe that as well. But a lot of times, a lot of us don't want to know. We don't want to know. We want to be comfortable in our oppression. We want to find a comfortable niche, a comfortable corner in European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. We don't want to know, because by knowing, it requires you to change your behavior, to change your mind. I've been on this quest of knowledge of self for the last 40 years of my 65 years of existence. In fact, it even started earlier than that in the 60s when I was a teenager. But I kind of got a little sidetracked, so to speak. But I've been on this track and I'm going to stay on this track. And I know where this track is going to lead me. It's going to lead me, just as Jay said, back home. Because that's what I advocate. I'm a cultural nationalist. I recognize being here is not going to do it for us. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, we must control our minds, our bodies, and our environment. Leaving it up to others, it will not do. This Friday, I'm going to have a program on Carter G. Woodson and the importance of this month and why he established this as the month or the week, and other African intellectuals of his on the same time. So please join us this Friday. Brothers and sisters, Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodia means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, Abibi Fahodia, peace. Hello? Hello?
Hey, brother. Good show, huh?
Oh, man, it was fantastic, brother. It was fantastic. Yep. That's right. I loved it. I loved it. Yeah, yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah, that was good, brother. Right. Right, you know, because the problem, of course, with a lot of programs, they deal with politics, they deal with just that in American society, whining and crying. We're talking about what happened to us psychologically, why we are continuing in this frame of mind, you know, and we're trying to put something on us to make us understand that we don't have to think this way. We've been trained to think this way. We're taught to think this way. And because of that, we don't love ourselves.